Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here on a beautiful Thanksgiving Eve here in our Amherst studio. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Buffalo Sabres in action tonight, 7 p.m. puck drop. 6 p.m. will be the start of the Steve Foley Law pregame show right here on WGR. They play tonight and Friday. Also at home, that game will be against Vancouver, two of the better road teams in the NHL. And then the Buffalo Bills get back to work today. Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media at noon. Hope to get a lot of injury updates today. We will see, though, when he speaks in just about an hour. Then we also got some Thanksgiving games coming up tomorrow. Josh, we do have some news out of Green Bay.
We do.
For the Green Bay-Miami game that I think is objectively one of the funniest things you're going to see.
So in a nice little press release type post from the Green Bay Packers, a limited number of tickets are available for Thursday's game due to the Dolphins returning a portion of their allotment.
That sounds like a fake.
No,
that
it's
has to
real.
Be a fake.
No,
what?
No.
It's
a limited number of tickets are available for the Dolphins versus Packers game due to the visiting team returning a portion of their allotment. So in other words, the Dolphins players got all their tickets and the Dolphins staff and everybody else was given their whatever amount of tickets, and then they were all actually like, no, I'm not going to go.
Now, and I want to be fair here, you can argue it's Thanksgiving night. They're going to stay home with their families. We'll see when you get back. You could argue that.
You could.
I'm choosing to ignore it.
Because no other team is posting this.
Yes. And I am saying that no. Dolphins employees, their families, what have you, are like, it's too damn cold. I ain't going. And that is perfect for the Dolphins.
Good
job,
Miami.
With all that being said, if they win on tomorrow night, gonna have to pack away the cold jokes for a little while here.
This tweet.
Oh, no.
This tweet and the replies.
Oh, no.
It's not.
The replies are not healthy.
I don't know if they're a Bills fan. I don't know where they're from. Oh, they are a Bills fan. That's fantastic. So David tweets at the Packers here, but also tags the Dolphins. The Dolphins fans return tickets to their own stadium. No way all 44 of them are going to Wisconsin.
Oh, man. That's mean. Speaking of that, though, it is tough because the Miami Hurricanes as well, they play at what's their stadium card? Hard Rock Stadium?
Yeah.
They play there, too. And, I mean, they've been a top 10 team all year. All year. Cam Ward's been awesome, the whole thing. And you'll see these home games, and just no one is at these games at all.
Mm-hmm.
No one is at these games. And they're a top 10 team the entire time. And it's unbelievable. Like this is a team that like ran the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. This is also hilarious because I'm scrolling through more and every single reply is a Bills fan.
That's good.
I have not got to one Packers fan.
That's
yet.
Good. We travel far.
This is great.
Including Twitter.
This person, Raider Nation, a Raiders fan chiming in. It's Thanksgiving. Take a break. No, never.
See, but no, but again,
hate does not hate to the Dolphins does not take a holiday.
That's fair. But we've got to be fair. It probably could be one of the reasons.
That is probably the yeah. But just every tweet is a Bills tweet. Just soft. They wish it was colder.
I wouldn't even be surprised too. I mean, they're going to make this known. But I'd also imagine the Packers are like, this will be just funny. Mm-hmm. Take a shot at the Dolphins by, because of course it's going to be cold out. They're coming to Green Bay.
It's not even really
it's
a shot.
It's the Dolphins.
It's not even really a shot. It's just them saying, hey, look, guys, we have more seats for you. Super cool.
They should have taken more of a shot. They really should have. I know it's AFC, passive. NFC, but they totally should have taken a shot.
It is passive aggressive.
Like, I mean, come on. Like, it's so easy. Maybe it's a little mean, but like, it's Thanksgiving. They could have just been like, we're so thankful for the Miami Dolphins fans that don't want to sit in the cold. We have more tickets. Like, it could have been something like that. Very simple. Oh, it could have been perfect.
I'm now going in on Packers Twitter.
Never been around Packers Twitter.
They do an item of the game, apparently.
Oh, good.
They're giving away an orange camouflage Packers hat. That's the most Packers thing I've ever seen.
Very Wisconsin.
Very Wisconsin. Good for that. I mean, hey, if you're hunting, probably is useful.
That's right. No, that works.
It's probably pretty useful, actually.
That works.
But it's just, I don't know. This is my first time ever on the Packers, like, Twitter page.
Yeah,
I've never been on this page.
I don't hate the Packers. They're definitely like a known historic franchise
for sure.
The NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think about them often.
No.
When I do, it's typically either because I hate the fact that they also... We talk about like the Chiefs having dark magic.
Mm-hmm. The Packers.
No team has ever figured out the quarterback position better than the Packers. And yet they have three Super Bowls in like that run.
Two.
Yeah, two. Favre won one. He made two. Rodgers wins one. And then you have the Jordan Love era. Of course, they win one and two with Bart Starr. But like, they've got like three all-time quarterbacks, specifically of their eras, if not all-time. And then Love looks really good. Not fair. Mm-hmm. You guys basically don't participate in free agency. This is not fair. And yet they figured it out. And then as well, I really liked the make of their team this year. So I thought about them a lot this offseason of their wide receiver room and such. They're a good team. Sal brought up though as well, like they're the sixth seed in the NFC. They're 8-3. Like the NFC North, I think, has arrived like a year early in how good I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be more of just Detroit and Green Bay going back and forth, Chicago getting a little bit better, Minnesota maybe getting a little bit better, preparing for J.J. McCarthy next year. Nope, good now. They're just really good now, and it's fun though. It's a lot of fun.
Speaking of the Bears, I just saw a graphic from the 33rd team.
Mm-hmm.
Odds for the Bears' next head coach, and Joe Brady is listed on there.
Oh, he should be. Yeah, 100% should be.
At the top.
Yeah, he should be. 100%. Remember, Ben Johnson's going to be he's going to play hard to get.
You're right.
Remember, you know, last year I guess the reported asking price for him was like $15 million a year,
which is
incredibly high.
And that's not a slight on Joe Brady. I just thought Ben Johnson would be up there, and I kind of didn't want Joe Brady to be up there.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all that Joe Brady's on there again. We didn't mention this either when we were talking about the Bills winning games this year with the run game as well. But they've shown they can win games in different ways. I think Brady has taken what he had last year, which was a very run dominant team, and has sort of gotten it more towards the middle. They've made moves. They've kind of helped it everything out. And if Allen wins the MVP this year, which I believe he is still the betting favorite, he likely gets a head coaching job. I'd be very surprised if a team like the Bears or even Jacksonville weren't like barging down his door and dragging him away with a contract signed. I'd be very surprised, especially with the fact that I think Ben Johnson is going to wait for the perfect job rather than a job that will be his first one and maybe even his last. A perfect example here would be Brian Daboll with the Giants. Leaves Buffalo, we all got it. He kind of maybe stayed a year longer than maybe he wanted to, but he takes the Giants job, and effectively that job was you got to fix Daniel Jones. Made it to the playoffs the first year, but then they signed to a long-term deal, and well, in the middle of Dable's third year, Jones is now signing with the Vikings because he was cut in the middle of the season. You know, it's I like what Ben Johnson's doing a lot, or at least appears to be doing. I don't think that's necessarily like definitive, but it appears he's doing is no, I'm going to wait for the right job rather than the first job. I know a lot of these guys will also, you know, get nervous of the fact of, well, but if I stay next year, does all of a sudden my stock, you know, dissipate? Does all of a sudden I'm not the hottest commodity out there, and all of a sudden all those jobs aren't available? I think Ben Johnson then is also thinking, cool, then I'll just stay an assistant, and I'll get paid a ton of money, and I'll keep winning games here, and I'll just keep being that guy, rather than I'll leave and go to the Jets and be fired in 3 years. And then all of a sudden your stock is really low.
Yeah,
that, I mean, that's the thing too. Robert Saleh is a phenomenal defensive mind. And yet what do we all think of him as? Just a bad head coach. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of where we're at with him.
But I think, I mean, again, I feel like the Jets is a hard team to look at that and say that just because they are the Jets and everyone understands, like, just because.
Even Brian Flores, though, with the Dolphins.
Yeah.
We all kind of, like, we're like reintroduced to him this year, but he's been a great defensive mind his entire career.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, I feel like the Jets are more known for that. Like, the Dolphins, sure, they're not great, but, like, it's kind of like if you coached at the Jets and gotten fired, it's probably not your fault.
It's kind of getting that way. It's
probably not your fault. Like,
well,
I'm not saying Robert Saleh was the perfect head coach or anything, but like, it just probably wasn't all his fault.
I mean, no. For Saleh, no, it's not all his fault. Adam Gase, though, exists. That's kind of his fault.
Yeah,
they hired him. I get it, but man, he was a joke. But that's the thing. I think a lot of these coaches now, I think maybe rightfully, are going to start taking the Ben Johnson route of, no, I'm going to wait for the right job. You have to prove to me why this is the right job. Even though coaching can have a lot of arrogance, I think, to it. I mean, really, to be any professional athlete in either coaching or just straight up playing, you have to have some level of healthy arrogance of believing I can turn anything around. But I'll tell you right now, like, the idea of anyone wanting to actively take the Jets job and not being like the third or fourth pick for the Jets feels insane. I wouldn't want anything to do, honestly, with either New York team. I wouldn't want anything to do with them at all. They just feel like toxic sludge that I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
You think Joe Shane has a job by the end of the season?
Nope. Hard Knocks kind of ruined that.
Yeah. And also, I feel like that Hard Knocks offseason is never going to happen again.
Man, I'm going to be so upset. I'm going to be so upset.
It's never going to happen again.
Albert Breer, I think formerly of NFL Network, I don't know who he's with now, but he tweeted something out a few days ago, too, of like, yeah, no one's ever going to do the Hard Knocks offseason. I hope we get to, and I say this knowing full well, I never want the Bills to do it. Start forcing teams like you do with the regular Hard Knocks. Be like, no, you're getting on this. You're bad, and we want to watch
it. Well, and just,
it's funny.
You know what? No, it's hard because, obviously, Hard Knocks, you have to do a bad team. But, like, the offseason one, just do any team. Because good teams won't care if you come into their office.
Oh, they'll super care.
Well, they'll care, but they're not going to look like idiots. They're just going to want to hide certain things.
You say that now.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think that, like, you went to a somewhat rookie GM on a bad team with a bad owner and a bad outlook.
Oh, I fully believe every
like
team.
There was no way that Joe Shane was going to come out of that looking good unless he was able to keep Saquon Barkley and find someone to trade for Daniel Jones.
But here, perfect example. Good front offense, the Bills. How uncomfortable, awkward, and embarrassing is the whole J.D. McKissick thing from a few years ago?
Ooh.
Every team goes through super uncomfortable, embarrassing moments every offseason. I'm convinced of that.
I forgot
about that. We just don't find out about them because good teams are good at hiding them, and they recover and do other good things that make you forget about it.
Right.
But could you imagine the offseason edition of Hard Knocks being there and the J.D. McKissick thing is happening? Oh.
The phone call. Oh, okay, great. Sounds good, J.D. We'll see you soon. Like 10 minutes later. Hello? Oh. Oh, you don't want to come here.
And then could you imagine something like similar like Saquon Barkley
where the
entire front office coaching staff is like preparing for J.D. McKissick and they're watching NFL Network and it's J.D. McKissick's going back to Washington.
Yeah.
And you have to watch your GM, who you think is very smart and you think is doing a great job, have to have an awestruck, you know, look on his face. I'm not saying that's what happened.
Right.
But all of a sudden, the mask is taken off of how good things are run. I think everything with sports is a lot of tripping, falling, mistakes, and then success.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people bring this up with the draft when criticizing Brandon Bean, where, he nailed Josh Allen. Like, you know, and that's it. When objectively it's not true, he's hit a lot of late round picks. They've also had some first and second round picks who have been very good. I've brought up Osiris Torrance constantly about how second round pick, and he started every game since. Greg Rousseau has turned out to be a great player. But could you also, that too, 2018, that draft. I'm convinced, I'll never know almost definitely we'll never know. I think the Bills had Sam Darnold as their number one quarterback. What if all of a sudden we're seeing an interview where they're talking about, I don't know about Allen. I don't know. I don't know. Now all of a sudden they go from, they look like geniuses now because nobody had cameras in there. Nobody was a fly on the wall until now. We're all of a sudden, here, perfect example is with the Giants. How uncomfortable was this year for Daniel Jones? Because we knew how much Brian Daboll, I mean, love in his eyes listening to Drake May. Just right on the board and talk.
Looking back now, imagine the draft Drake May. Granted, who would he throw to? But you draft Drake
Who's
May.
Who's he throwing to now?
Well, that's fair.
Kind of making it work. Not really, true. But kind of.
And, man, the Giants were one, they, literally just not signing Daniel Jones. They could have been in such a better position.
Oh, 100%.
And now they have to go into a bad quarterback class with no quarterback. You almost feel bad for him. See, the Giants, I kind of feel bad for.
I do because of Daboll and Shane.
Yeah, the Jets, not so much.
Yeah, but I do because of the Buffalo connections of...
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
Although, I mean, like, they could be up there for the Shedeur Sanders, like, quote-unquote sweepstakes. I don't think he's, like, that kind of quarterback prospect. He is the best one, in my opinion, of this draft class. Him and then Cam Ward, and then I think there is a bit of a steep decline.
Mm-hmm.
They could be there for it. They have Malik Nabers. I think that is attractive to any quarterback. Like, even if Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders don't necessarily want him to play for the Giants, that is attractive. Of, all right, well, you're going to have neighbors. You're going to have somebody to throw to that's really, really good. They just have to figure everything else out, which, if you nail the head coach, you can turn that around pretty quickly. The Giants were lucky year one. Again, their biggest problem was signing Daniel Jones after that. That would have been like the Bills breaking the playoff drought and then deciding, let's say they beat Jacksonville in that wild card game.
Man,
we're gonna now sign Tyrod Taylor.
Let's run it back, Tyrod Taylor.
Now all of a sudden you're sitting there going, "Oh, I don't know about that." Like I know Sneaky Joe is a huge Tyrod Taylor fan. I love Tyrod, especially for the few years he was here. He was great. He was kind of that sneaky addition. So there was also that added bonus of, man, the Bills were on top of this. Like they were there. It felt like they were progressing. A lot of that goodwill dies when he all of a sudden gets like a Ryan Fitzpatrick contract, where you're like, no. I just heard about this 2018 class, how good it was. You've been setting yourself up for this. What are we doing?
Right.
And do we know the Bills wouldn't have done that if they won a playoff game? We don't. We have no idea.
We would have if Hard Knocks would have been.
Back to the offseason Hard Knocks. Now, all of a sudden, maybe we all of a sudden see the coaching staff is sitting there, and it's a real split on, like, no, we need to keep Tyrod. You know, we were right there in the playoff game. Like, we need to add more offensive pieces, or we need this, this, and this. Not a quarterback. We got our quarterback. Been uncomfortable as hell. Yeah. I don't want any of that.
Especially if that all
my favorite team.
Especially if all that conversation goes on and then they don't go out and then they do go out and draft Allen, if that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Man. See, this is why. Like, this is why you need to have the in-season or off-season edition of Hard Knocks, because then you find out all this stuff and it creates so much drama and storyline and everything.
100%. I just never want it on my favorite team.
Well, that's it. We've established
I want it for
like,
everybody
the
else.
The Giants ruined it for everyone because they were so bad so quickly. Like, if it would have just been, like, kind of bad, then it would have been fine. And teams would have been like, well, we still don't love it, but we'll do it, I guess. But now it's like every team wants nothing to do with it, and it's all the Giants' fault.
Yeah, they really...
They went out there and they said, oh, you want this to be Hard Knocks? Cool. Watch this.
We are absolutely going to cause
We're going to let go of a star running back that's going to become the potential front runner for the MVP next season. We're also not going to draft the best quarterback in the draft class. And I say that kind of confidently because I think Drake May is kind of taking that over. I'm not fully there yet. But for
right now, the rookie year, I think it goes Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Caleb Williams.
I think
JJ McCarthy not having
if you look
yet.
With what Drake May has to work with, though, and what he's done, I think you can argue that he should be higher up on that. And what he's
shown. Who is Bo Nix throwing to?
Cortland Sutton.
And then who? Little Jordan Humphrey?
Cortland Sutton.
I love him. He's a Longhorn, baby. I love him. But be serious.
But who's Drake May throwing to?
I mean, also nobody.
Exactly.
But,
at least Bo Nix has one person. Drake May is nobody. I'm surprised he hasn't thrown it up in the air and caught it himself yet.
He kind of did with that Hunter Henry touchdown. He just kind of lofted it up there.
Yeah.
That was a prayer ball on fourth down. Jeffrey tweets in, by the way, I feel like the Giants is the landing spot for Sam Darnold in the offseason.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious, though.
100%.
That'd be so funny.
I'll say 100%. I'll even push it to 1,000% if Brian Daboll's still the head coach.
I was about to say, because if it is, if our thoughts and theories are correct, what if you know, how much did Brian Daboll like Sam Darnold over Josh Allen in that draft class? We're going to find out this offseason if Daboll's still there. Was Shane part of that too? Was he part of that group?
I think so.
Maybe not. He wasn't probably the assistant at that point, but he was definitely in the organization. I believe, right?
Brian Daboll, I don't think, was brought in yet, or he was just brought in.
Yeah.
So he was just brought in 18, and then for Joe Shane.
Because Daboll, I think it was well known, regardless of where he was, Daboll.
And then Shane was the assistant GM in 2017. So, yeah, I mean, those guys would have also been a part of those conversations.
See, if I'm, who's their owner? John Mara. If I'm him, ride it out. Keep the two of them. Let them go get their guy that they've been waiting for since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that because, you know, they didn't want Josh Allen, but they were also definitely interested in Sam Darnold.
Oh, I think 100%. And I'll be completely transparent here. A lot of this also, I was a big Sam Darnold fan.
Mm.
And I thought he fit what the Bills were kind of looking for. His biggest issue was turnovers.
Yeah.
I think if he was put in a good spot, his development would have been great. You're already kind of seeing it. Like, yeah. He's performing well after having a bad start. I will say this, though, for the Giants, and specifically as them as a destination here.
Mm-hmm.
If he wound up there, you've got to make damn sure your offensive line is at least average.
Yeah.
They lost Andrew Thomas, and that was a big miss for a big hit for them the rest of this year. Their offensive line, though, past him is not very good. They need to be better there, and they need to add somebody else. Like, this is where all of a sudden, get Andrew Thomas, get another get a tackle opposite of him.
Mm-hmm.
Then in like the third round, get a guard and just be like, Sam Darnold's our guy. That's our guy moving forward here, and we're just going to have a bunch of dudes. And that's what we're going to end up doing.
Right.
Because right now, you're seeing it with Sam Darnold. Once Christian Darrisaw went down, he is abysmal against pressure. And since he's gone down, the pressure rates have gone up, and his numbers have gone down. They're still winning games because I think Kevin O'Connell is the most underrated coach in football. I think he is spectacular. I can't wait to see what he does with J.J. McCarthy. But if you're the Giants, that's got to be uno numero one. Like, that's got to be the thing. Offensive line needs to be better.
Yeah.
Needs to be better. And I would say that for most teams. I it's not sexy, but as I will routinely say, oftentimes the least sexy thing in sports is actually the right thing to do.
No.
It's fun to draft a wide receiver fifth, and sometimes it works. Look at Jamar Chase. You know, even Malik Nabers is really good. But a really good offensive line?
Malik Nabers is fantastic. He doesn't have anyone with him. Yeah. And he also doesn't have not just a quarterback, but it's nobody else wide receiver-wise.
Yep. But a really good offensive line, though, can fix a lot of issues. You'll also find out, too, if your quarterback is bad or not. That was the one big issue with Daniel Jones. The man could with the offseason addition of Hard Knocks, you knew your job was basically done. Throw the ball.
Yeah.
Push the ball downfield. And he just wouldn't do it. He just would not do it. I felt bad for him by the end because it felt like that was just that's who he is. Just not great. He is signing a one-year deal with the Minnesota Vikings. If you have not heard, that's been
how much?
Breaking. One-year deal. I haven't seen the actual numbers in terms of the deal. It's not going to be much. I could even see it being league minimum.
I was going to say, is it that crazy if it's league minimum?
No, I think that'd be right.
Probably not, right? Yeah, okay.
I think he is signing with a team just to maybe try to win a ring and just kind of like, I don't want to be out of football for half a season into the offseason. I want to do this now, so I'm here. But ultimately, I think he can be a backup quarterback. I do wonder, though. I think it's a fun idea that people have brought up, the idea that he could be the Bills' backup quarterback. I think he's already where like Mitch Trubisky was at, where you're just like, I don't really trust him entering a game. Like I mentioned, he doesn't push the ball down the field. Sure, he runs, but he doesn't really want to. He takes a lot of sacks. He turns the ball over. I don't think it's a very good idea at all. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on today. We're talking a lot of football. Jumped around the league there a little bit. Also want to jump into the Sabres here before we wrap up today. But after a quick timeout, we're going to get a look at the weather. Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ, Patrick Hammer, will join the show as it does look like we're going to have a weather game on Sunday, especially some lake effect snow coming in Friday and through the weekend. That's coming from Patrick's Twitter just under an hour ago. He'll join the show here after a quick timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Break it down. Have a time.
You know what that music means? It's not a Friday, but potentially some weather activity. Not even potentially. It feels like almost definitive. We're going to have some weather activity for Sunday night football as the Buffalo Bills will host the San Francisco 49ers snow game. We just had our first one of the season just a few weeks ago with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And for more on this, we do go to the Wester Hotline as Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ. Patrick Hammer joins the show. Patrick, good morning, man. How are we doing today?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you as well. Hope you're going to have a fun time with this winter storm coming in. I know you were on earlier today with Jeremy and Joe. Do we have any like differing updates from this morning? I saw earlier today or even earlier this hour, you mentioned that lake effect snow Friday and throughout the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a really a close call for Sunday. Now, the thinking really hasn't changed since we talked a little earlier this morning. You know, it's Wednesday. Usually we talk on Friday for a Sunday game. This is Wednesday. So, you know, pinpointing lake effect snow this far out is, you know, it's not an exact science just yet. But here, the overall weather pattern is this, is that for the first time this season, we're going to get a plunge of cold air and our first lake effect event of the year will happen this weekend. It will be in the process of winding down during Sunday afternoon into Sunday night and for kickoff. And right now, it appears that the heavy lake effect snow, and this could affect any travelers that may be coming into town for post-Thanksgiving or into town for the game and you're traveling on the 90, the thruway from Erie up towards, you know, Angola is going to be very snowy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's where the worst of the weather is going to be. This is going to be a traditional snowbelt location for, you know, the typical snowbelts of Western New York. That's where the most snow is going to fall. The question is that it appears that this band of snow will migrate north a bit on Saturday, which could get it into the South Towns and Southern Tier. Buffalo Metro. And then as it heads back to the Southern Tier, it's going to snow again in Orchard Park, during the day. But we still think that heavy, you know, whiteout conditioned snow band should be south of the stadium before kickoff. But it's going to be close, I will say. It's going to be, something we got to watch. It will be cold. It will be breezy. There will be snow on the ground. And falling snow is a possibility for the game.
What is it in terms of, because I know a lot of the talk so far has been Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What is it in terms of beyond that? Like Sunday night when people are leaving the game and then into the next week, is it too far ahead to see, you know, is it going to warm up and all that, whatever falls is going to melt? Or is it going to just kind of stick around a little bit? Like what's the next bit after this weekend look like?
Yeah, we haven't really had, a December to start like this in quite a while where it's going to be cold and it's going to lock in and it's going to stay a while. So we are going to see as we head into, you know, hopefully the snow should be wrapped up after the game. If there is any, again, it's going to be a close call. As we head into next week, the cold locks in and there'll be multiple opportunities for snow. Honestly, off and on through the first half of December, it's going to be a kind of a, this cold shot has some staying power. So we're going to see multiple lake effect events, snow possibilities, even into Buffalo and the North Towns as well as we head into next week. So this is going to be the snow that falls will not be melting. It will stick around, and it will stay below average temperature-wise into the first, 10 to 14 days of December. So it's going to last a while.
Last thing from me, Pat, real quick, because I just remember too, Sabres play on Friday night, and you mentioned the lake effect snow. Anything for the downtown area that could affect driving there, or is that going to be kind of in the clear?
Now, is it a 3 o'clock puck drop on Friday?
That is a 3 o'clock puck drop, yes.
Okay, so I think that that's fine. Unless you are traveling from the southern tier, you're going to have to navigate snow. There will not be any snow to worry about in and around the arena on Friday afternoon or Friday night. This really looks to be. Now, it could be into the, the kind of the third ring south towns, the Evans to Eden to possibly Hamburg, Orchard Park on Friday late. But it does appear that it's going to be settling south from there. But again, the arena will be fine, but areas to the south, if you're traveling from there, you will have to work through some snow.
All right, sounds good. Patrick Hammer here on the Western Hotline, the chief meteorologist over at WGRZ. Patrick, man, thank you so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy your Thanksgiving tomorrow and enjoy keeping up with the storm. Like you said, it changes at times every minute.
There's a lot of buzz about this thing, I know, but I think we should miss it. But it's going to be close. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, Pat. And again, that was Patrick Hammer there on the West Her Hotline. And do also want to get connected to our fans. We did have somebody tweet in that for Daniel Jones's contract does appear to be a 1 year, $750K, because he's still getting $25 million from the Giants. And if he's, and then I did see Tom Pelissero tweeted out as well on this, that the Vikings will be paying Daniel Jones a little over 100 grand for the rest of the season if he stays on the practice squad. So that's actually where it's at. It's going to be a little over 100 grand. He's getting a higher rate if/when he's moved to the 53-man roster. That leaves the Giants on the hook for the other roughly $11.7 million. Yeah, makes sense. I mean, get him, and he was sort of seen as this hot commodity because he would be a cheap backup quarterback. He wanted to go to a contender, I think partially to kind of fix his image. He goes to Kevin O'Connell, sit on the practice squad, arguably do the whole quote-unquote learn in a good system, and maybe he can sort of sell that to teams in free agency. And then we did mention the Sabres there with Patrick Hammer, and great news for tonight. Tage Thompson officially back in the lineup. That, according to head coach Lindy Ruff, Josh, I'm so excited to watch him play again.
I cannot wait. The NHL posted, they made a whole post dedicated to the fact that Tage Thompson is back tonight, saying literally just, he's back, with a picture of Tage. That is so good. Like, yes.
It's cool to have a superstar.
Let's go.
It's cool. It is always one of those things. It's cool to have a superstar that the league really likes. And that's something on Tage Thompson as well here real quick that I've always really enjoyed since his breakout year 2 years ago of just random national NHL, or I guess you can even say international because of Canada, accounts that would just like tweet some of his goals, and they're just like, he's just awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just the coolest. Like, his highlights are a lot of fun. He's 6'7", and yet he dangles people. I've missed him.
We've got some lines from practice.
Oh, here we go.
Paterka, Thompson, Tuck. They're back.
Makes sense.
Benson, Cousins, Krebs. Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Like that. Zucker, Kulik, Quinn. Also really like that.
I like that Kulik is going to keep playing center. I really
Malenstein,
like that.
McLeod, Lafferty. Don't love that one.
Who is centering that line?
McLeod.
Okay.
But I don't love that he's with Malenstein and Lafferty. I wish that Krebs and McLeod were swapped.
I know,
Benson was on the wing.
I'd like to see him up
Cousins
there.
Cousins was on the wing. And then you have Darlene Byram, Power Yokiharu, Bryson Clifton, and UPL in the starter's net at practice today, earlier today. That Zucker line, though. Those guys have been cooking. Like, Zucker, Quinn, Kulik, mm-hmm. like, the three of them together.
Has been working really, really well.
Yeah, and I really think it's Zucker. Like, he's working so much with Kulik, and even now Quinn, to just kind of get them going. I mean, for Quinn, it's to get back going. For Kulik, it's to start going. And I think that, the stories of how he always sits on the bench with Kulik, that is, sits on the bench with Zucker after every shift and just listens. Like, that is so useful, and that's something that you haven't had Like, you've had veterans with the Sabres locker room, but you haven't had a guy like Zucker who's been in the league for so long.
Your bottom six has been dreadful for years.
Well, not even bottom six. Just a player like a Zucker who comes in and has been successful in the NHL and knows how to get out of slumps, knows how to get stuff going, how to start out when you're young, like what to focus on, what he did wrong that he would, you know, do again if he was younger. Like, that's so – it's so good to me. Like, the just using him – on that line or just with those young players is just so smart.
Yep. One last thing here on the Sabres. We're going to get to your calls here in just a moment. I've been teasing the stats for how good both Vancouver and Minnesota are on the road. They are 1-2 in the league. Vancouver, they play Friday, 8-1 on the road. Great. Minnesota, just behind them, 9-1-3.
Oh, good. So they've had more games on the road and just lost more in overtime. Good.
Literally the two best teams on the road. That's who the Sabres get in back-to-back games, Thanksgiving Eve and then Black Friday.
No, you can't scare me. Vibes are too high.
There we go. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Julian here. Julian, how are we doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Good, good. Real quick, yeah, shout-out to the Sabres. Shout-out to UB, all Buffalo sports. Bandits coming soon. So, yeah, man, great time to be a Buffalo fan. I got three questions. One of them, what will be Matt Milano's snap count when he comes back, if it's going to be this week or next week? Personally, I mean, I love Matt Milano, one of my favorite defensive players since he got here. But Dorian Williams, I believe he has the most tackles on the team. And, I mean, Terrell Bernard always makes a play every week. So just curious on what you guys think will be his snap count. What else? Running back room. I love James Cook as well, but has he done enough to earn a contract? I believe this is his contract year after this season. Has he done enough this year to earn that contract, or are we rolling with Ray Davis? And one more, Sean McDermott. I believe he kind of won the fans over, but in the playoffs, I mean, I'm already saying 18-2 for the season, we'll win the Super Bowl, but hypothetically, if he drops another game in the playoffs, I mean, does those Mafia go to Orchard Park and pitchforks and torches? You guys tell me.
Looking like a scene from Draft Day. Julie, man, thanks for the call. When they go to the GM's office with signs, he's got to go and stuff like that. I mean, if they lose in the playoffs, ultimately that's going to be a conversation, especially, Julian, if it's in the divisional round again. In terms of tackles, Dorian Williams, you're 100% right. He leads the team by 30, Josh. He leads them by 30. He's at 95. Number two is Damar Hamlin at 65. Now, I will say Terrell Bernard has missed a number of games. He's in third at 57. But, yes, Dorian Williams leads the team in tackles with 95. In terms of Milano's snap count, I don't necessarily have like a definitive number. I do think he'll be on a bit of a pitch count. They will kind of bring him along, not necessarily slowly, but I would say they're not going to rush it. They are going to, I think, take their time to do so to make sure he's 100%. Now, it does help. It's not a lower body injury he's coming back from. It's an upper body injury, so there's kind of hope that he can kind of hit the ground running and go. We talked to Sal a little bit. He mentioned it does seem to be trending in the direction that he'll come back for Sunday. We'll know later on in the week if that's definitive. And if not, I would imagine it would have to be next week by Wednesday when they take on the Rams. James Cook, on that point, I don't think they are. I don't think they are. This team's kind of shown you they're going to draft running backs relatively early. Maybe not first round, but second to like fourth round. They'll draft those guys and then kind of move through there, and then they'll move these guys out as they go. You saw it with Singletary and Moss, and now they're at James Cook and Ray Davis.
I do wonder, though, with Singletary and Moss specifically, I don't think those are great examples because James Cook has looked a lot better than both of them.
Oh, he has. Don't get me wrong.
That's where I think it's different.
But he's not Saquon Barkley. He's not Christian McCaffrey. Sure. He's not Derrick Henry, which makes him very, I guess... He could be collateral damage of just it's your position. I also will say the offensive line is much better than when those two were here, when Zach Moss and Devin Singletary were. I think the offensive line is much better.
He does have 1 year left on his rookie deal, so there isn't you don't have to figure it out this offseason necessarily, but it is definitely going to be a topic. And there is if they want to sign him back, there is potential there for them to do it this offseason. So. It's not out of the picture entirely, but like, I don't think that's one of those moves where it's like, I think you make that decision next year at this time.
Yeah. I love James Cook. I think he's been great again. Mm-hmm. 10 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns this year, I think 11 total. But I'm never really for that, especially, again, you can kind of just draft these guys in the second to the fifth round even and get really, really good value out of them.
I don't think the comparison to Singletary and Moss is correct, because if they do let Cook go, it'll be more so of the money thing rather than the, you know.
I can understand that. I fully believe that's what they do, though.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Since McDermott being here, I agree.
I think both James Cook and Ray Davis are better, but I think that they're like, oh, that's cool, but we're going to end up moving off of both of you eventually.
Yeah.
Even when they took Ray Davis, 24 years old, they kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
This is one, maybe two contracts for your NFL career as a running back. Also, some news for tomorrow's games, the Thanksgiving games. Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito, right for him, officially listed as questionable as they will take on Dallas. 803-0550 is the number to call. We've got a few more minutes here before we send it over to Sabres Live. But before that, we're going to hit a timeout. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which of course is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And we are going to get connected to our fans one last time here, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com as we go to the phones. Anthony on the line. Anthony, how are we doing today?
Good, boys. How you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
All right, quick question. Do you guys think you should just draft a running back every year or so? Because even at the highest level, like Saquon Barkley is completely replaceable.
I think that's right, Anthony. Thanks for the call, man. Because I've been seeing the stats too. A lot of like, look what Saquon Barkley's doing. Like mm-hmm. he's got 200 rushing yards more than the entire Giants team, and everyone's like, cool. Like they completely replaced his production with like a seventh round guy and a fifth round guy.
Yeah.
Like Saquon is an individual amazing player.
Right.
The Giants rushing attack kind of around the same.
Yeah. And granted, you have to do it with more players at that point, but. At the same time, you're still getting the same production.
Yeah. I wouldn't draft one every year, Anthony. I would get close, though.
I think he did say every other.
But every other year would be perfect.
Still. Like I think that or every like 3 years. Like one out of the three.
And you kind of keep that rotation of mm-hmm. younger guys, don't have that wear and tear, haven't had the amount of carries, depending on the school they went to. And you should be good. Like I was bringing up in the break here because we saw Anthony's call on hold. I really like the Kansas running back, Devin Neal. I was I watched a little bit of Kansas, Colorado, where Colorado, man, just way to waste all the goodwill you built up. Good job, guys.
Just go get Ashton Jeanty and see what happens.
He's going to be a first round pick.
I know he is. That's what I'm saying.
Because the Cowboys pick early. So like, he's definitely going to be a first round pick. He's very good. A lot of fun to play. And Boise plays on Friday.
Hypothetical situation. He is on the board, the Bills are on the clock. Do you take him?
No, I don't want to go through this ever again. Do not give me the Travis Etienne years all over again.
I was all over the Bills. I wanted them to take Travis Etienne so bad that draft.
Marcel-Louis Jacques, who now covers the Dolphins for ESPN. I know he was a big fan of Etienne's too coming out of Clemson. Oh, those were the worst draft years ever. Because then it was, you'd see the betting lines and they're like, who's going to take the first running back? Buffalo minus 250. And you're like, no, stop.
Yeah, but come on, think about it though. If Ashton Jeanty is on the board, you gotta take
him. I wish him well as I take like a defensive lineman or a wide receiver. I even tell him you should have the Heisman.
Whatever.
You gotta get some help from Josh Allen.
You give him a call.
He can't do it all himself.
You give him a call and you say, hey.
You got Rob, brother.
You got Rob, but I'm gonna draft a wide receiver.
Yeah, but also you're gonna get robbed again here. I'm not taking you first overall. I wanted to get that off my chest. It felt rude not to, kind of deal.
This is a courtesy call.
Oh man. Tough for him. That's going to do it for me and Josh. We will not be back on tomorrow, of course, with it being Thanksgiving. Sal Capaccio will have you on Friday, as I believe Patrick Hammer will likely join him again, and Bills head coach Sean McDermott. And then, of course, coming up later tonight, the Sabres are in action, finally, back at KeyBank Center for a nice Thanksgiving Eve game. 6 p.m. pregame, the Steve Foley Law pregame for a 7 p.m. puck drop as they take on the Minnesota Wild. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is WGR.